A1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, Mario Ritter Jr. tells us about the damage and destruction in Vietnam from the powerful Typhoon Yagi. Jill Robbins has this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. We close the show with today's lesson of the day. But first,
a powerful ocean storm caused deadly floods and landslides in the northern part of Vietnam over the weekend. Typhoon Yagi is the strongest such storm to hit the country in years. In Phu Tho Province, a bridge over the Red River collapsed Monday. Reports said 10 cars and trucks and 2 motorbikes fell into the river. Rescuers saved 3 people from the river. 13 others are missing. In Cao Ban Province, a landslide pushed a bus carrying 20 people into a flooded stream. In the northern town of Sa Pa, a popular area for foreign visitors, a landslide killed 6 people on Sunday. The storm is responsible for at least 59 deaths in Vietnam, officials said. Northern Vietnam is a center for manufacturing. Many foreign companies have operations there, and it is a base for export activity. State newspaper Lao Dong reported many businesses were closed Monday because of heavy damage. The storm destroyed several factories. Others had water leaks that damaged goods and costly equipment. Damage to electrical equipment in Haiphong and Guangning provinces caused power outages Monday. The two provinces are industrial centers for export goods. Factories for electric vehicle maker VinFast, Pegatron, a supplier for Apple, and electronics supplier USI were among those without power. Prime Minister Pha Minh Chinh visited the port city of Haiphong on Sunday and approved aid worth $4.6 million. Korean manufacturer LG Electronics reported no injuries among its employees, but it said the storm flooded a building that stored its finished products, including refrigerators and washing machines. Hong Sun, the chair of the South Korean Business Association in Vietnam, said there was a lot of damage. State-operated power company EVN said more than 5.7 million customers had lost power, and many power lines had been broken. Bruno Jasper is head of Deep Sea, a Belgian industrial developer and operator. Jasper oversees factories in Haiphong and Guangning provinces. He said everyone is scrambling to make sites safe and stocks dry. The typhoon made landfall on Saturday in northeast Vietnam. At its strongest, the storm had winds measured at 149 kilometers an hour. By Sunday, the storm had weakened to a tropical depression, a storm below the level of a typhoon. However, Vietnam's weather agency continues to warn of landslides. VN Express reported that the water levels of several rivers in northern Vietnam remain dangerously high. The deadly storm also affected other parts of Southeast Asia. Reports say 20 people in the Philippines and 4 in southern China also died in the storm. On China's Hainan Island, officials reported that more than 50,000 homes were damaged or destroyed. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
Most Americans eat ultra-processed foods every day. These are foods that you cannot make at home because they contain flavors and chemicals that change the taste or feel of the food. Such food may also go through preparation methods that are not possible in a home kitchen. They are usually high in salt, sugar, and fat. Americans may eat them in the form of sugary cereals at breakfast, frozen pizzas at dinner, and in between bites like potato chips, sodas, and ice cream. Ultra-processed foods make up about 60% of the American diet. For children and teenagers, it is even higher, about two-thirds of what they eat. Scientists have connected eating ultra-processed foods to poor health results. Being overweight is one such result, and that may lead to diabetes and heart disease. Other possible health risks include depression and dementia. One recent study suggested that eating these foods may raise the risk of early death. Nutrition science is complex, though, and most research so far has found connections, not proof, regarding the health effects of these foods. Food manufacturers argue that processing increases food safety and food supplies. They say it also offers a low-cost, easy way to provide a diverse and nutritious diet. The Associated Press asked several nutrition experts to explain these foods so that people can make informed choices. Most foods are processed, whether it is by freezing, grinding, fermentation, pasteurization, or other means. In 2009, Brazilian epidemiologist Carlos Monteiro and his team first proposed a way to classify foods by how much they are processed, not by their nutrient content. This is called the NOVA classification system. It is used by international bodies like the World Health Organization. Kevin Hall is a researcher who studies metabolism and diet at the National Institutes of Health. He said that foods at the top of the NOVA 4-level scale are foods prepared with industrial processes and ingredients, such as additives, colors, and preservatives that you could not use in a home kitchen. These are most, but not all, of the packaged foods you see, Hall said. Not all processing is unhealthy, Hall noted. Whole grain bread, yogurt, tofu, and infant formula are all highly processed, for example, but they are also nutritious. Still, many studies suggest that diets high in ultra-processed foods are tied to poor health results. The exact cause is still unclear. Hall and his partners carried out a small study with 20 people who came to live at a health center for a month. Some of the people ate ultra-processed foods, while others ate unprocessed foods. The two groups got the same amount of calories, sugar, fat, fiber, and nutrients for 2 weeks. They could eat as much as they liked. When people ate the diet of ultra-processed foods, they took in about 500 calories per day, more than when they ate unprocessed foods, researchers found. They gained an average of about 1 kilogram during the study period. People who ate only unprocessed foods for the same amount of time lost about 1 kilogram. A new study is currently taking place, and its results should appear next year. Dr. Nina Prasad is director of the Bloomberg Philanthropies Food Policy Program. She said such foods are often made to be both low-cost and very tasty. "You just can't stop eating them," Prasad said. She said she believes leaders have enough facts to change policies. This could mean raising taxes on sugary drinks, limiting salt in these foods, and controlling how advertisers sell the foods to children. Earlier this year, Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Robert Califf told a group of food policy experts that ultra-processed foods are a complex subject. However, Califf said, we've got to have the scientific basis, and then we've got to follow through. Aviva Musikas is science director for the Center for Science in the Public Interest. She said buyers should check information printed on food containers and make choices based on the current U.S. dietary guidelines. We have really good evidence that added sugar is not great for us. We have evidence that high sodium foods are not great for us, she said. Musikas added, we have great evidence that fruits and vegetables, which are minimally processed, are really good for us. I'm Jill Robbins.
Jill Robbins is here now to talk more about this week's Health and Lifestyle Report. Hi, Jill. You used a word in today's story, ultra-processed. Can you explain a little more about what the prefix ultra means?
Sure, Ashley. Ultra comes from Latin, where it means beyond. In English, we use it to talk about the extremes of things in a range.
One way I've heard it is ultra-modern. So is that like saying extremely modern?
Yes, and we usually hear that when people talk about furnishing or home design. You can have a modern style in a home, let's say in a kitchen, where you have electric appliances that might be white or other colors. But if it's an ultra-modern kitchen, everything is stainless steel, shining, and very up-to-date.
What other words can we combine ultra with?
You may have heard it used to describe extreme political views, like ultra-conservative or ultra-radical.
So, in general, when you hear the prefix ultra, you can understand that something is beyond the ordinary for whatever noun it is attached to.
That's right.
Well, thanks again for joining me today, Jill.
It's always my pleasure, Ashley. And stay away from those ultra-processed foods.
I will try. Thank you.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
My name is Anna Mateo.
And my name is Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
You're listening to the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
To be or not to be in Washington, D.C.? That is an easy question for Anna to answer. Anna loves being in Washington because it gives her the opportunity to do a lot of special things.
Andrew, are you quoting William Shakespeare, the famous English playwright?
Of course I am. To be or not to be is probably the most famous line from all of Shakespeare's plays. And in lesson 13 of Let's Learn English, Anna, who loves the theater, is excited. And that's because she gets to do and see some unusual things at an unusual party.
That's right. Anna gets to visit a special birthday party for William Shakespeare.
And it's an unusual party because Shakespeare died more than 400 years ago, in the year 1616.
Well, people still celebrate his life, especially at the Folger Library in Washington, D.C., which has the world's largest collection of Shakespeare's works. That's where Anna was lucky to find this birthday party for Shakespeare. Let's listen.
What is going on here?
It's a big birthday party for the writer William Shakespeare.
This is a party for William Shakespeare?
Yes!
Awesome!
Awesome!
I think awesome is one of Anna's favorite words. She uses it a lot.
Yeah, so do a lot of people in the United States. In American English, awesome just means really good or enjoyable.
And this birthday party is awesome for Anna because it lets her see and do things she does not usually see or do. You could say it's an unusual day for Anna.
It's a most unusual time, it's a most unusual day. It's quite bizarre, it's super odd, it's strange in every way.
I guess that's our unusual theme music for today's podcast. But now let's listen to the things Anna gets to hear, see, or do at the birthday party.
This is a drum band. I never listen to a drum band. But today, I am listening to a drum band because it's Shakespeare's birthday.
Thoroughbriar over park, over pale, thorough flood, thorough fire.
This is a puppet show.
Everywhere.
I never watch puppet shows. But today, I am watching a puppet show. Because it's Shakespeare's birthday.
My clothes are usual. His clothes are unusual. In Washington, D.C., seeing a politician or even the president is usual. Seeing the Queen of England is very unusual. Your Majesty. I never sword fight, but today I am sword fighting because it's Shakespeare's birthday.
Sword fighting is pretty unusual these days. I know I've never tried it.
Me neither. But in some of the plays Shakespeare wrote, it's normal to see a sword fight. Now let's review what Anna saw and what she did at the birthday party. First, she listened to a drum band.
This is a drum band. I never listen to a drum band. But today, I am listening to a drum band because it's Shakespeare's birthday.
Second, she watched a puppet show.
Thoroughbriar over park, over pale, thorough flood, thorough fire.
This is a puppet show. I never watch puppet shows, but today I am watching a puppet show because it's Shakespeare's birthday.
After that, she saw a man dressed in clothes from Shakespeare's time. That looks unusual today.
My clothes are usual. His clothes are unusual.
Next, she meets someone dressed like Queen Elizabeth I of England, who was queen during Shakespeare's time.
In Washington, D.C., seeing a politician or even the president is usual. Seeing the Queen of England is very unusual. Your Majesty.
And listeners, what's last? You got it. The sword fight.
This is sword fighting! I never sword fight, but today I am sword fighting because it's Shakespeare's birthday!
I think the sword fight and the people dressed in old styles of clothes are the most unusual things Anna saw.
You could say they're not normal.
They're strange.
Bizarre.
Weird.
Different.
Out of the ordinary.
Odd.
Novel.
Atypical.
Curious.
Rare.
Unexpected. And I think that list of words might have been unexpected for our listeners.
It's a most unusual time. It's a most unusual day. It's...
excuse me, we have more to explain to our listeners.
Oh, right. Sorry about that. I'm Andrew Smith, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast.
There are many words in English that mean the same or almost the same thing as other words. We call these similar words synonyms. Andrew and I gave 11 synonyms for the word unusual. Now we're going to say them one more time. But pay close attention because we're going to say them very quickly and we're going to add one more for a total of 12 synonyms. You ready, Andrew?
Ready.
Strange.
Bizarre.
Abnormal.
Weird.
Different.
Out of the ordinary.
Odd.
Novel.
Atypical.
Curious.
Rare.
Unexpected.
That was fast, but our listeners can have fun listening to that part of the podcast again to try to understand all 12 words.
We should also explain that one of those synonyms is actually four words connected together with hyphens, or the small line between words you sometimes see when you are reading English.
That's right. The synonym was out of the ordinary. Those four words, out, of, the, and ordinary, get connected into what sounds like one big word, out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary simply means not ordinary.
Which means not normal.
Unusual.
Odd.
Atypical.
Rare.
Okay, stop. I think our listeners get the idea about synonyms.
I think they do too. But it's good to know how English can use synonyms to express an idea in many ways.
That's true. Sometimes it's also good to know which synonyms are used most commonly to express a particular idea. But this can be difficult for people learning English.
Yeah, they might need to ask a native speaker which words are commonly used and which words are rarely used or used only in certain kinds of communication.
And even with two common synonyms like the words usual and normal, there can be a difference in how often the words are used. For example, some language databases show that native speakers of American English use the adjective normal about twice as often as the adjective usual.
That's interesting. And that word, interesting, makes me think of another important thing from Lesson 13 of Let's Learn English. In the beginning of the episode, Anna said she was bored.
But today, I feel bored. When I feel bored, I always look for something unusual to do.
But after going to the birthday party, she says she is no longer bored.
There are many things to do in Washington, D.C. Some usual, some unusual. Today, I am not bored because it is William Shakespeare's birthday.
Well, that means the party was not boring.
Exactly. Instead, it was interesting or maybe even exciting. If it were boring, then Anna would still be bored.
Okay. I see what you are trying to explain to our listeners. We use ED, like with the word bored, to describe our feelings inside. But ING, like boring, to describe things we see or perceive. So that means Anna would probably not say, I'm boring.
That's correct. If she said, I'm boring, that means she thinks other people do not find her interesting in any way. It would be very unusual for a person to say, I'm boring.
It would be atypical.
Or out of the ordinary.
A bit odd.
Or maybe just an English mistake.
So please, listeners, do not say that you are boring. But it's okay to feel bored from time to time. Jill, how are you feeling?
I'm not bored, but I am a bit tired. Thinking of all these synonyms can be tiring.
Yeah, but it's fun, too. Hey, I have an idea to keep you awake.
Uh-oh, I see you grabbing your guitar. Are you going to play your unusual theme music again?
You guessed it. But first, I want to tell our listeners that there's even more they can learn from Lesson 13 of Let's Learn English. And we will explain those things in another podcast soon.
Oh, boy. And they can learn more on our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. They can also find us on YouTube and Instagram. And thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
It's a most unusual time. It's a most unusual day. It's quite bizarre. It's super odd. It's strange in every way. It's a most unusual time. It's a most unusual day. My mind keeps wondering what to think when colors smell like rain. I've heard the strangest things today, like words that rhyme with oranges. And so I think I'll sit right back and watch the world. It's weird and strange in every way.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.